Take your Bible, please, and turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 in the Old Testament. We've been in a series talking about reality check. And basically what I've been talking about and preaching about is to really look to the Bible and examine our life about what reality really is. We've talked about the reality of what, you know, true happiness is, the reality of true contentment. And so today we're going to be talking about, in the same vein of things, the reality of what true success really is. And we're talking about success as defined by God and defined by the Bible. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. The children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great gulf toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How would you define success? If you go to the dictionary, when the dictionary talks about success, it talks about fulfilled dreams. It talks about goals that we achieve. One definition of success in the dictionary is fame and popularity. So you see that is one way that people have in defining success. But the reality check that I'm talking about today is, how does that compare to what the Bible says? There's nothing wrong with us living for our dreams. There's nothing wrong for us to have goals. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, those things fulfilled that we desire in our life. Nothing wrong with that. But is that all there is? Can you have all that and still be a failure? Yes, you can. Now, I don't know how many of you remember Boris Becker, but when I used to watch Wimbledon a lot, here's what I remember about Becker. At one time, he was the youngest male tennis player who ever won Wimbledon. He won it two times. But I remember what he said one time in an interview. And this interview had just, for some reason, stayed with me. Becker said, I had everything. According to the world's standard of success, he said, I had everything. I had wealth. He said, I had everything I needed, all the money I could have. He said, I had the fame. I had popularity. But he said, on the inside, I had no happiness. On the inside, he said, I had no sense of satisfaction whatsoever. He said there was just a void there in my life. So, we come back now to what you think success really is. If you had to define success, how would you define that in your life? Well, this morning what I'm going to do is give you several definitions as we go through this of what biblical success really is all about. Now, to me, a simple idea that, and this is not, you know, I don't know where this came from. It came from God, I guess, but in my study also. But really where I came to this definition that I'm going to give you really came through my study and prayer and time of preparation. And I really do believe that success in life is having the understanding and ability to apply the grace of God to our lives. And if we miss that and have everything else, then we will be a failure. So we're going to talk about what it is to apply the grace of God to our lives. Now I think all of us at times, we have a measure of failure in our life. I think at times in our life, all of us have a measure of regret, disappointment. You know, we all have that in life. But that doesn't mean that we are failures. Doesn't mean that at all. Because we know this. We know what the secret of success really is, and it is found in the understanding and the ability to apply the grace of God to our lives. Now, as we look at this today, we're going to talk about Joshua. And what the key takeaway is this, with Joshua, what God is telling Joshua is this, that the key to success in your life comes from me. So any measure of success that we have in life is to acknowledge this truth, that true success in life comes from God. Amen. Now the standard that the world uses for success may look at many of us today and say, well, you're really a failure. The standard that they apply to success will look at me and say, well, you really don't measure up. But what I'm going to talk about today is what is God's measurement. When God looks for success in your life and my life, what does God say about what true success is all about? The first truth we're going to talk about is this. What God is telling Joshua here is that you find success in living in my presence. So living in the presence of God. Now, what do you think that God is telling the people here that Moses is dead? Don't they know that? Yes, they know that. Doesn't Joshua know that Moses is dead? Yes, he knows that. But see, this is just a reminder. It's a reminder to Joshua. It's a reminder to the people that my presence that was with Moses is now going to be with Joshua. Leaders come and go, but God remains the same. So here it is. Moses who led them through the Red Sea. Moses who confronted Pharaoh. Moses who went up and stood before God at the burning bush. Moses who received the Ten Commandments. Moses who could smote the rock and, water come out of that rock to give to the people to drink. He's not here anymore. Joshua, you are here. You're standing at the bank of the Jordan River. I'm going to be with you. My presence is going to guide you. And we are going to go across the Jordan River. And so what it represented here is a new life, a new opportunity, new leadership, new direction, a whole new thing. But what was it that didn't change? What is it that is consistent here that God is telling the people? What is consistent with what God is telling Joshua? God does not change. He gives him here the promise of His presence. And so what we are assured of today is this, that God's presence will be with us. Joshua, you're going to face some difficulty here. Joshua, it's not going to be easy to lead this people and to cross this Jordan River. You may be facing a Jordan River in your life this morning. And you're thinking, how in the world are we going to cross this river? Well, see, the presence of God is with you. He has promised that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. The New Testament interpretation would be this way in Mark chapter 8, where Jesus said this. He said, "What would it profit if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? If you gain all your dreams, if you reach all your goals, if you obtain the popularity and fame and wealth and power and all that that you want, and you don't have God, and you reject the cross, and you say no to Jesus Christ," then Jesus says, "What profit is there to that?" If we have all that the world says brings success, and we do not have Christ, and we do not know God, and we lose our own soul for eternity, Jesus says, "What profit is there in that?" Do you see there's a different measurement here? There's a different standard. There's a different definition in what success is all about. So he's speaking to Joshua here, and he's just telling Joshua, my presence is going to be with you. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to go with you. And so here's the question. What does that in Joshua that was written so many years ago, what does that mean to you and what does it mean to me today? Here's what it means. The same God that made the promise to Joshua is the same God that makes it to you and makes it to me today. The same God that told Moses, "Moses, I'll be with you." The same God that told Joshua, "Joshua, I'll be with you," is the same God that will be with us today. And so that is very important to see here. In our dreams, our goals, our ambitions, the way we live life, then the promise is, "My presence will be with you." And I believe that. See, what that does is put us in His protection. That means that He's going to guard us. That means He's going to build a hedge around us. And so the presence of God is what we need. And so the promise is here. You know, the only thing that matters here is to have God's presence. The verse in the New Testament when Jesus said, "You have all this that the world says brings success, and you don't have me," then what is the fame worth? What's the fortune worth? What is all that worth if you don't have me in your life? Number two. The second definition here of success, or idea of success, the truth here is this: obeying the principles of God. Folks, let me just say it this way. If you want success in life, follow this book. Amen. Sorry about that. Follow this book, because here's what I know. What God is telling Joshua is this. You can never go wrong if you follow this book. He tells Joshua here, he says, Joshua, he says, don't turn from it, from the right hand to the left hand. Take this book with you wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may do, that you may observe to do all that is according in here. So what's God saying? The major source of success in your life and my life is the Bible. The Word of God. The principles that we find here. And so what it means is this. What's going to determine the success of your life and my life is the way that we respond to the principles of God's Word. How am I going to respond to it? Am I going to be obedient to it? Or am I going to turn to the right? Am I going to turn to the left? Or am I going to stay with this book? How we respond to this book determines our success. This book says that we're to believe in God. This book says that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. So how am I going to respond to that? So it's following the principles that we find in the Word of God. Someone said it this way. Look it up. Read God's Word. Let it in. Meditate on God's Word. Let it out. Live God's Word. That is obeying His Word. So what's the manual for success? The Bible. If I have a dream, how does that dream line up with the Bible? If I have a goal, how does that goal line up with the Bible? If whatever it is I'm seeking in life that I desire, you know, how does that desire line up with what the Word of God has to say? Stay with the book. Joshua, I'm going to take you into this land. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. But Joshua, when we get across this river, stay with what you know. Stay with what brought you here. Many people are climbing the ladder of success only to find out that when they get to the top, that ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. Hear what I'm saying. Don't depart from the principles of God's Word. Don't lean your ladder that you're climbing to the wrong wall. Just don't do that. So it says here, stay with the Word. And then the third thing here is this. Fulfilling the purpose of God. This promise that God made to Joshua, God made it to him about 40 years ago from this point. If you remember, they came to Kadesh Barnea, the children of Israel. And what God wanted them to do was to go on into the promised land, but because they had doubt and unbelief and all that, then they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't get to enter into the promised land then. And so now it is 40 years later. 40 years later, what Joshua is going to do is to fulfill the purpose of God in his life. The promise is seen in verse 6 here. Be strong and good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I promised, which I swore to their fathers to give them. And so see, he's bringing him back to the promise that he made 40 years ago to him. And so here's where his purpose in life is going to be fulfilled. My study, here's what I've found, come up with. Some people have no purpose in life. Some people have the wrong purpose in life. Some people have found the right purpose in life. Joshua knew what the purpose of God was for his life, so therefore he knew what success was. One definition of success is this. Success is finding out what God wants you to be and do, and give your best to being it and doing it. Finding out what God wants you to be and do, and giving your best at fulfilling that. That definition doesn't say anything about wealth, doesn't say anything about popularity, doesn't say anything about fame. None of that is there. A successful person knows how to apply the grace of God. John Maxwell has written a lot of books on leadership. Here's what John Maxwell's definition of success is. Knowing God and His desire for me, growing to my maximum potential, sowing seeds that benefit others. So now in this reality check today, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of it, we think about this passage today, let me get you to think about these questions. In the life of a believer, the question we need to ask, the questions would be these. Do we obey the will of God? Are we empowered by the Spirit of God? Do we serve to God's glory? If I obey the will of God, if I am empowered by His Spirit, and whatever I do, if I do to His glory, you know what God says? You are successful. Joshua, do my will. Joshua, I'm going to empower you. Joshua, I want you to know this. Just do it for my glory. Don't take glory on yourself, and you will be a success. God can do the impossible. He really can. God can do the impossible when we live in His presence, when we obey His principles, when we live for His purpose. He can do that. How do we apply the grace of God to our failure? Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Sin came into the world in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The greatest failure that every person has is sin. However, the greatest remedy for that sin was when Jesus Christ stepped in and provided the remedy for our greatest failure. Paul said it this way in Corinthians. He said, He who was without sin became sin for us on the cross. When He died there, He took what was man's greatest failure into His own body. And as the Bible says, He bore our sins in His own body. And He gave us the greatest remedy for our greatest failure. See, here's the greatest tragedy. The greatest tragedy is not to apply that grace to our life. The greatest failure is not to receive His grace and forgiveness, His love, His mercy. The greatest failure is to say no to eternal life. God really wants you to be successful. He really does. And He has given us His Word. And in His Word, He's given us those principles that will take us to that success we need. It's not what the world says, but what He says. And what He says is this: if we gain all this stuff and we lose our own soul, then what profit is there? Do you know Jesus Christ today as your Savior? Have you applied His grace to your life? See, that's why I say that applying God's grace and understanding how to do that, you know, that's what success really is. Is to be saved, to know Him, to have His presence, to follow His principles, and to fulfill His purpose for your life. There's no greater sense of success and satisfaction than that. Take a reality check this morning. Do you have that kind of success? Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the truth of the Bible. Fathers, we have talked about this story today from Joshua. Lord, there's just so much in this passage today that is so helpful to us today. And Lord, as we examine our own life today and as we take this reality check today, I pray that we would apply Your truth to this test in our life. Do we have Your promise? Do we have Your presence? Are we following Your principles? Are we fulfilling Your purpose in life? Lord, what that means is simply that we will do and go anywhere You want us to go. We'll do anything You want us to do. That's what it means. Father, there are those here this morning who need to follow You. There are those here this morning who are climbing the wrong ladder. They've got that ladder leaned against the wrong wall. I pray today that they would come to You. I pray that they would come and put faith and trust in Jesus Christ and find true success, satisfaction, contentment, and happiness in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Fathers, believers today, I pray as we take this reality check, Lord, we all have those times. We all have those measures of regret and failure, and at times we get off track. But Lord, help us to apply Your grace. Help us apply Your grace to our failures. Help us apply Your grace to our regrets. Help us to apply Your grace to where we need to be with You in our relationship. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for this message today. And Lord, I pray today that we would respond to Your Word in a way that would bring glory to You this morning. In Your name we pray. Amen.